We're still studying on the book of Acts right now. We're going to be in the book of Acts probably for a few weeks here. And we're not doing just a verse-by-verse study in the book of Acts. What we're really doing right now is we're looking at a particular theme. And God led me in was to look at where the power, it's a study on the power of God and how the power of God's unleashed. Just like we talked last week, we need the power of God. You know, the things that need to happen in our community, the things that need to happen in our lives, it needs to be the power of God that makes this happen. How many of you guys have been able to change yourself? Have you ever, you saw a problem in yourself and you said, man, I'm just going to stop being like that, and then you just never, ever had that problem again. How many of you have been able to do that with all the problems in your life? Yeah, it's pretty quiet in the room, man. I've been there. You know, all the way up until I was 30 years old, I tried to fix all my own problems on my own. I would see something, I'd say, man, I just need to work harder. I just need to discipline myself. I need to... Boy, and I mean, I was hard on myself about it. You know what? It really didn't work out real well. I worked a lot, and I tried, and I kind of built myself up in certain areas, but in other areas, during them quiet times, you could still see that there were some major problems going on. You know, those major problem areas were areas that you just can't force yourself to be good. You know, you really need help. And I found out the help that I needed really literally is the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to move in. And you see, that's what it's talking about by being born again. If you remember that guy came, Nicodemus, to Jesus in John chapter 3, that's where we get 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We want to remember the setting there. There was a guy, he was a Pharisee. And all the Pharisees, for the most part, were pretty well against Jesus because he was suggesting that they weren't the most powerful people on earth like they wanted to think of themselves. And so he came at night to Jesus. And a lot of people say, why night? I think it was because he didn't want the others to know. I really do. I guess I'm guessing, because it don't really tell us. But anyway, he goes there and he says, we can tell you're a teacher come from God. Because, we can see the things you're doing. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. So what's that telling us? That's telling us we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. That's telling Nicodemus, no matter how hard you try to see the kingdom of God, the only way you can really see it is if God himself makes you new. How do we become a new person? It's whenever the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. How do we get the Holy Spirit living in us? It's whenever we become a believer. How do we continue to stoke those flames from time to time? You don't just build one fire at the beginning of the winter and stay warm by it all winter. You got to keep putting stuff on it, right? How many of you have ever lived in a house that was heated by wood? Have you ever lived there? You don't get up and put wood on the fire, you get cold. It's just that simple. I think it's the same way with cultivating a life in the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we're looking at the book of Acts because we've all agreed powerful things happened during the beginning of the church. Huge, powerful things. And so God just said, I haven't changed. That's kind of the focus verse. And Tara even mentioned this verse just a few minutes ago. You think God's like talking? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, guys, God still does things the way he's always done things, right? And so if he did it in the early church, and yes, he even healed people, didn't he? He still does it the same way today if we only submit to him in the same way. I think, we can see a progression of God through the different covenants that he gave to different people. Still the same God. He still had the same intention all the way through the Bible. He was still building up to Jesus coming, Jesus paying for our sins. That was his thought all along. You can see it right there in the beginning of the book, right? He said that as soon as sin entered the world, that this one of the offspring of Eve was going to crush Satan's head, right? He's going to crush the serpent's head. And yet, he would bruise his heel. But hey, what kills you? Bruised heel. I got bruised heel today. In fact, I was racing Adam yesterday out there and bruised my heel. He's a pretty fast runner, by the way. But you see, it didn't kill me. But you see, whenever Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, it was a death blow. It ain't the heel that kills somebody. It's the death blow. And so like, Jesus is still the same today, guys. He still got the same power that he gave to the early church. And it's true, he still does the same types of miracles. And what we need to do, I think, is look back at the beginning of the church and learn how to access this power. Now, I'm not making this into some kind of mystical thing, because it's all about a relationship. Okay? Now, there's a lot of preachers out there that are, you know, name it and claim it preachers, that are saying, you just need to use the right words, and you say this word, and then you get this power. And it's not like that. Power comes from Jesus himself. The power comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives, from us being stoked with the Holy Spirit, because we're living in a way that helps to provide a good atmosphere for him to work in. So we're going to look at this in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now last week we studied on how they just did what Jesus said. They just waited. They just waited. He said, wait, tarry in the city until power comes upon you. And they waited 10 days. Now they obeyed him. They stayed together. They were praying together. They even replaced the one disciple that was a traitor. They were doing God's work, God's way, and they were waiting on this power. And now we get to the point where the power comes. Okay, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Is it important for you to come to church? Absolutely. I don't know, we live in a day and age, and I run into people all the time. Well, you can be a Christian and not come to church. Well, it's true to some degree. You can become a Christian and not come to church. But here's my deal. Jesus, if we're really followers of Jesus, and he wants us together, and he even put it in his word in Hebrews that we shouldn't forsake assembling together, then you really can't claim to be a Christian in good relationship with God unless you're part of church. It's the bride of Christ. And I think we need to be regularly assembling together just like the word says. Amen? And so yes, you can become a Christian and not be in church yet, but if you're a Christian, I think you're going to get involved in church. I think it's part of the Christian life. What were they doing here? Do you want the power of God, church? Do you want it? Then we get it the same way they got it. They were in one accord. That means they were in agreement. They were together. They were praying. They were one mind, one heart, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh, God, that you would fill the house today. There, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sometimes this may be a little misunderstood. Sometimes we may try to recreate this in our own strength. Guys, what we need to look at is, what did this create in them? If we continue, we just kind of jump down a few more verses here just for time's sake. We'll pick it up at verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And who is it that we hear, each in our own tongue, in which we were born? They had people from all over the world in one place. And you see, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was like they were hearing it in their own language. This is the gift that was given to them by the Holy Spirit empowering them. It goes on to say there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Yeah, you can go ahead to the next one. And Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. And what were they speaking? Here's the deal. It ain't just that they were speaking. They were speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. What was the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through them? In clarity of language to all tongues, the wonderful works of God! You see, this wasn't just some thing out there that they were saying, unusual things. They were glorifying God with what they were saying. It was all about Him. And when it's all about Him, you know what? He'll help others understand it, because He wants them to know Jesus too. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? In other words, it was an unusual thing that was happening. Do you know, guys, when our church is of one mind and one heart and we're working together joyfully for the Lord and we are proclaiming His wonderful works, do you know it's an unusual thing to the rest of the world? They see and they think, what's up? That's not what I hear about church, or that's not what I normally see about people. You see, it seems unusual in a good way. And you know, when they ask, whatever could this mean? Guys, here's the prayer, that they'll see Jesus. They'll know it's the power of God that's moving among us. You see, Jesus is the same, what? Yesterday, today, forevermore. Jesus is still doing what Jesus does. Jesus is empowering the church with power from on high to show His wonderful works so that others will come to believe in Him. We jump on down. We're going to jump down to verses 41 through 43. Then those... Okay, so Peter went ahead and he gave a message. And I'm going to tell you, you can read the message today. We talked about it last week a little bit. You're going to read the rest of these verses, but the message Peter gave wasn't an easy one. In fact, he went on, he preached about Jesus. He preached about who Jesus is. And everybody was there was understanding Him, and they understood Him well. And I mean, he actually highlights this message with this Jesus whom you killed. I mean, he blamed it on everybody there. Do you know, it was all of our sins, guys. Every one of us is responsible for the death of Christ. You see, whenever Peter preached that message, he preached it with power and conviction of the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that this God has made, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, whenever God's word goes out, I'm just going to tell you, He brings life. He brings conviction. People are going to want to know what they can do. This is the power of God. Did you notice Peter couldn't do this on his own? This wasn't Peter that caused this response. All Peter did was just preach the truth in the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Who was it that cut these guys to the heart? God Himself, wasn't it? That was the Holy Spirit tapping on their hearts. And whenever Peter got done preaching this message, the Holy Spirit tapped on their hearts and they just said, wow, we feel convicted. That's what cut to the heart means. We feel convicted of our sin. What can we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, Holy Spirit came upon them. He was doing these great things. There was 120 of them who were assembled there together. And he the power of God came upon them. And whenever he preached, the power of God went out. Whenever the power of God went out, it causes conviction. You know, some people feel that conviction, they turn away. They don't want to hear anymore. You know, some of them were even assuming while they heard these weird tongues, man, they must be drunk. You know, not everybody saw the same thing. That happens in our community today, right? Power of God goes out, not everybody receives it in the same way. But now these guys, they said, what shall we do? What shall we do about this? And so then he told them in verse 41 through 43, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. So power of God goes out, received. You've got they access that power by being together. Then the power was displayed by the preaching of the word, the boldness that came forth. The power was displayed by the fact it cut people to the heart. And now it comes down to what do they do about it? I'll tell you what they did about it. They obeyed. The power of God is also displayed and accessed through obedience. It's all part of this bigger circle. And you know where it all started? It all started with them praying. I don't think it's any different today, do y'all think? I think it happens in exactly the same way. It starts, it's accessed through the unity in prayer. It's displayed by the power of God going out, even through the boldness and the preaching of the word. And then as it's received, it's also displayed through that obedience to the word. And look how many got saved. 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly. What did they do? They continued steadfastly. Steadfast. What does that mean to you guys? What does steadfast, that word, mean? Absolutely. There's a consistency in this. There's a steadfastness, you know. Whenever you see somebody who's steadfast, you think, man, there's a person that I can depend on. This is a person that's going to be continuing to do the same thing that is right over and over and over again. And so they saw, we accessed the power of God when we were together in unity, in the Word, and in prayer. So what did they do? They continued to do that. And as they continued to do that, in the apostles' doctrine of fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers, then fear came upon every soul. And mighty wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Guys, I don't think that anything's changed today. I really don't. The only thing that's changed is that maybe we ourselves are not continuing to do those things that we know that we need to continue to do steadfastly. And that's the seeking of God. That's the desiring to stay continually connected together under the teaching of the Word of God and in prayer as well. And as we do, and we do that more and more, I believe we're going to see a greater outpouring of the Spirit of God. I really do. I think that the recipe is still the same on how we access that power of God. This is not a hocus-pocus thing. What happens is we come together and we grow together through the Word of God. I think the power of God comes upon us and we're strengthened through that. And it's just a natural progression of our faith. And then, as we do, I love what it says in verse 43, the power goes out, it's displayed by the fear coming upon every soul of the people around them. They saw God's at work there. And I'm telling you, it affected them. And so God would continue to do many wonders and signs through them. Again, we see that this has to be the power of God, right? So God's power is displayed. And the way that it's displayed is very obvious here. It's through miracles. It's through the miracle of changed hearts. It's through people being born again. And I can tell you, those people, those 3,000 that received the Lord that day and got baptized, I can tell you there was a definite change in their life. You know how I know? Because people around them, the fear of the Lord came upon them. There was a definite change in their life. Their direction changed. They started meeting together on a regular basis, it says. I can tell you, it was obvious that it was displayed there. And we must be sure to recognize how it is accessed, though. A lot of times, all we're interested in is the display of the power. But what we need to ask is, how did they get that kind of power? Because the church still needs the same power. We can't do this on our own. We are not able. We don't have the power to convict the heart. No matter how much, we may try to convince somebody else. You guys ever try to convince somebody else of anything? Do you ever try to convince them? How many of you guys are on Facebook? Any of you guys on Facebook? Facebook has its upside and its downside, right? All right? It's got a lot of downsides. So a lot of people just decide, I ain't have nothing to do with it. And I can totally go along with it. I can sympathize with you 100%, but it also has its upside, right? You can display scriptures on there, and you can encourage each other spiritually. How many of you guys follow our Facebook site? You guys ever follow our Facebook site? We post scriptures on there, and we got somebody that keeps chiming in on our Facebook trying to convince us otherwise. And I'm telling you, he's relentless, man. And he'll argue with himself sometimes, continually. Like, we won't say nothing. You know, I always thought it'd take two people to argue. Do y'all know that? Sometimes, you know, I've been told that it takes two to argue. We're not arguing. We're not coming back. And there'll be repeated, you know, replies to a scripture that we put on there. Guys, the scripture's good. The scripture's just good. We're not trying to misuse it. We're just letting it say what it says. And it says, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of any works of yourself. That's how you're saved. And there's many other scriptures. You see, the thing of it is, we can't convince anybody any more than that person can convince me otherwise about the scriptures that I'm reading. So we could chime at somebody, and we could even be right, and we could try to convince them, and we could keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. But until God cuts them to the heart, they're not going to change. I had people try to change me. Amen? I didn't get saved until I was 30. And it was a miraculous thing of God cutting me to the heart. You know, when I knew I had experienced Jesus, do you know what the actual moment was? I was alone in my living room, and I questioned God to show me. And do you know how he showed me? He convicted me of my sin right there on the spot. I had never read this verse in Scripture. I did not know about these people, these 3,000 who were cut to the heart. But I know that in my living room that night when I asked, Jesus answered me by convincing me and convicting me of the sinfulness and depravity of my own heart. And I fell to my knees and begged of him to forgive me for how sinful of a man that I have been. And then I read these verses later on and I said, that's exactly what happened to me that night. It's exactly consistent. It was the power of God that was not only accessed but displayed that night that caused me to be born again. So rather than just looking at the display, the person that's healed, or this or that or the other, that's all a wonderful outworking. But what I really want us to recognize today is how was it accessed? The access of that power is literally God Himself. We can't have the power without having more of God. That's really what it boils down to. We can't have the power away from God. And I'm afraid too many of people who call themselves Christians today are wanting the power, but not really wanting more of God. You know why we don't want more of God? Because God, He requires things of us. And sometimes that scares us. Do you guys ever think, I'm just going to pray, but then I'm a little bit afraid of what He might require of me? Do you ever think that? I was scared to death He was going to put me in the middle of Africa because I don't like it where it's hot and humid. I just knew it. Do you guys ever watch them old Tarzan movies? Man, it looks hot there. And does it ever look humid? And I thought, I don't think I could do that. So I was scared to death to ask God, show me, what do you want? But praise God, He just wanted me to come to Cadet, right? It's never hot or humid here. But anyway, I can tell you, I would be happy to go to Africa today if that's what God wanted me to do. What He does, He changes our want-tos. He just said, you know, He begins to show us, hey, you can trust me. But you see, the power of God Himself is where the power comes from. So the closer we get to Him, the more of Him that we have, the more of His power we have. That's Holy Spirit power. We're talking the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? That's the same power that lives in us. But I tell you, I think He has to be cultivated in us that He would be displayed in us in a powerful way. So let's look at one more case here real quick. We'll just run through this real quick. We jump over to Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Now this is where they're going to teach again, okay? They've had their time here. They've had the 3,000 come. So the prayer meeting just got way bigger real fast. They're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we've got these guys who are going to be going to the temple at the time of prayer. They're going there to teach. They're going there to gain more converts. They're going there to tell others about the Lord. And they come across this poor beggar. This beggar sat out there just wanting a few morsels of change or something so that he can buy himself some food because he couldn't work. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. Listen to what he says. This is awesome. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Now, he didn't just leave him, sat there and walk off, guys. He believed it when he prayed it. God led him to pray this, okay? All right, we got to be led by God, but God led him to pray it. He prayed it, and he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet were and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Guys, here's the deal. The power was accessed back in chapter 3, verse 1. So we're going to back up a step there. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So what were they about? They were about prayer. They were about seeking of God. They were about doing God's business. They accessed the power right there. And then let's jump forward where we were. Now the power is displayed. You see, same place of access, seeking of God, desiring more of Him, desiring to bring Him glory. Now the power is displayed, and here, by a literal healing of somebody. He healed somebody. Not just because He wanted to help that guy walk. That was part of it. But part of it was because He wanted to display His power to everybody else. And if we continue to read on through that chapter, guess what? Peter was a good Baptist. He saw it as a chance to preach. And he said, here it is. We've got all these people. They just saw this miracle. Now I want them to know the truth about what made this miracle happen. And he preached to the people. And then we jump down to Acts 4, verses 1 through 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the people, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Remember I told you not everybody's going to be happy. These guys were unhappy about it, but guess what? It did not deter him. They laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, I like the however here. So it may not always go perfect for us, you know. You can get thrown out of wherever you're at. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Isn't that awesome? And we're talking exponential growth here. They went from 120 to two preaching engagements. Now they're over 5,000, right? And some would, you know, there's some discussion. Did this mean 5,000 just in this time? Or was it 2,000 added to the 3,000 and made the whole group 5,000? Who cares? All I know is at least 2,000 people got saved here. And that was just the men. And the reason why it says the men is because along with those men came their families too. So like we're talking like the church went from 120 here to probably, we're getting up around, you know, 10,000 people or more, right? Because with every one of those men came their families. And so you've got a major movement of people here in the matter of a few days. Why? Because of the Spirit of God. Because of the power of God. Because it was being accessed through their prayer. Let me ask you something. How many of you get excited to hear that there's going to be a prayer meeting coming up? Got a couple hands up. Guys, how about if I said, you're going to get the chance to ask great things of God, and He's actually going to do it if you show up. Do you get excited about all that? Like, I can show up, and I can ask, and God's actually going to do it. That's a different thing, you see. We've turned prayer into something that seems mundane, unexciting, maybe even boring, unfortunately. But it's not like that. When we pray, we're coming into the presence of God. He is pleased. He pours out His power on those who pray. I can tell you, every great movement of God throughout the centuries. Do you know where the Great Awakening started in our own nation? It was with a small prayer group. Just a few people. Every great awakening that's ever happened usually just started with a very small number of people who really cared and they really went and asked God. And you know what always happened to those prayer groups? They almost always grew because they could see the miracles of God happening. People started being compelled to come, and then God moved in a great way. And so I don't think that God's changed, do you? I think power is still accessed in the same way. Do we want PBS to be an awesome PBS this year? Do we want to see kids saved? Do we want to see families brought to the Lord and possibly even come to the church too? If we do, the most important thing we can do is pray in preparation. The most important thing we can do as well is pray together for a power, the movement of the Spirit of God. Let's pray right now. Dear God, we're a church that really desires to reach our neighbors, Lord. I believe we're one in heart in that. God, I pray that Your Spirit would move today. Lord, we can't even begin to get into the circle of this whole power of God until we first are committed to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We may have some here today that have realized You're the only way, that Jesus is truly the only way to be saved from our sins. Today is the day of salvation. Just let them right now, at this very time, confess their sins to You, even in silent prayer, and say, Jesus, be my Lord. I trust in You today. I want to give my heart to You. Lord, then at some point they need to make that public. They need to come forward. They need to admit it. They need to say, I'm a Christian now. I need to be baptized. Lord, we will applaud with them. We will not judge them. We will be thankful that you have done this very thing. Lord, for those of us that are in this room that are already Christians, that ain't where it stops. That's just where it begins. We got work to do. There's a world that needs to know about Jesus. There's a world full of hurting people. They're finding themselves in all kinds of a mess, Lord, just like we all were once. And so, Lord, there's no judgment there. There's just a desire, a burden in our heart to see Him set free. God, we can't do it on our own. God, bestow your power on this church. Bestow your power on us, your believers, Lord, so that you'll do mighty miracles and wonders through us, Lord. We'll see people saved. People will be cut to the heart and asking what they need to do to be saved. Lord, that you would do this even through our vacation Bible school as well. Prepare our hearts. Lord, put us in a place where we are seeking after you hard, that we are seeking after you in a hot new way, that, Lord, we are desiring more of you so that we'll have more of you to give others. God, fill us, strengthen us, embolden us. Every time the Holy Spirit comes upon anybody in the Scripture in a big way, makes them bold. God, we need to be bold. When we announce prayer meetings at this church, Lord, when Wednesday we meet here to pray, I pray you would fill this church with people expecting to have a connection and a moment with you to pray. Not even out loud, maybe just silently in a group, but Lord, to join our hearts together. I believe you'll pour out your Spirit the same way you did in the book of Acts. It's not going to look exactly the same, but it's going to be the same God working in the same way to do the same thing you've always done it to do, and that's to call people to yourself. When others see the miracles of God, they come to you wanting more. God, please work through us, Cadet Baptist Church. Work through us, the believers in this body. Bless this body, this church. And Lord, again, if there's anybody here that wants to first time submit their heart to Jesus, let them come forward today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, if you're still in that place where you're trying to change things in your own strength, that can be the most frustrating place, and it can be the most hopeless feeling in the world. Don't let that crush you. I just want to encourage you to know Jesus just wants you to give Him the whole mess. Okay? See, I was really deceived. I thought I needed to like put the good stuff in a box and give Him the good stuff. I didn't want to give Him all the bad stuff too. So I was trying to figure out, how do I get rid of this bad stuff before I give my heart to Jesus? And He said, give me the whole deal and I'll help you fix it. And that's what He wants us to do. Give Him the whole life, even the brokenness, the sin, the mess. He said, you just come as you are and I'll take care of it. I'll help you. And He's going to require it of us. But the cool thing is He don't crush you. He don't just like, I was afraid, you know, He was going to try to make me be perfect all at once. Maybe I'm the only one who felt that way, you know? I just thought, man, He's just going to slap me around and He's going to make me. And it just scared me to death. That wasn't the way it went down. He loved me. He always did. And He just took me in almost like in the most warm embrace, you know. And I mean, it was like I could almost feel it. It was weird. And I just felt this warmth and this joy from the Lord. And He said, I love you. I've always loved you. I didn't love you any less whenever you were doing the ugly stuff either, you see. I love you and I want to help you. And over the period of really the rest of my life, He's going to help me. He's just going to help me one thing at a time. You know, and he's going to help me get that stuff where it needs to be. And so, guys, don't give up. Give it to Jesus. He's real. He'll help you. He doesn't despise you. He don't hate you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He gave Himself. He let Himself be nailed to the cross for you in your place. That was your cross. Submit yourself to Him. Be a living sacrifice. He'll help you with everything else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.